The Labor Department releases the July unemployment report tomorrow. Analysts are expecting a strong increase in business payrolls. Those same analysts were disappointed by weak job creation in June. Paul Brandis reports the job market may be improving. However, there are concerns about the quality of the jobs that are being created.
The first thing Sandy Dawkins does every morning is check her email. Coffee cup in one hand, mouse in the other, she logs on eagerly. But Sandy's not looking for messages from friends. She's looking for work. Her first stop, several job sites.
I look onto like Monster.com, Career Builders. Most of them have my resume on their database.
It's the 49-year-old woman's third foray into the labor market in a decade.
I have to try to find a job to keep me going, keep me functional. All the jobs I've had, they either downsized or outsourced.
On the surface, it would seem like a good time for Sandy to be looking for work. More than a million jobs have been created in the past 4 months, the sharpest increase in 4 years. This is good news for the Bush administration, which says the great American job machine is just getting warmed up. Yet, after a year of web surfing, phone calls, and scouring the classifieds, still no job for Sandy.
Her problem may be that we're still not in a thoroughgoing jobs recovery.
Robert Reich served as Labor Secretary during the Clinton administration. I asked him to pick one word to describe the strength of the U.S. labor market.
Lackluster. It's a very slow and anemic jobs recovery.
Lackluster, despite a million new jobs in recent months, Reich's defense compared this recovery with the last one a decade ago.
Once jobs started really coming back in 1993, 1994, they came back at a very fast clip. We really haven't seen that. May's job report was good, and April's was very good, and March's was pretty good, but June's was terrible.
What about a longer time frame? A study by Morgan Stanley, the Wall Street investment house, claims that since the recession ended in November 2001, private sector payrolls have grown 0.2%. The half dozen economic recoveries before that averaged payroll growth of nearly 7.5%. What's different this time? Most economists point to the rising cost of health care.
Health care costs are certainly, if not dampening hiring a little bit, causing employers to be more careful about who they're hiring.
Roger Herman is CEO of the Herman Group, a Greensboro, North Carolina company that studies the U.S. labor force.
We're finding that employers are avoiding health care costs, at least the direct health care costs, by outsourcing more jobs than perhaps they have in the past, so that they don't have the direct cost of health care and they let it be somebody else's problem.
The dramatic increase in health care costs has led some to speculate that any boom in hiring will be short-lived. Herman disagrees. Health care costs may be an important factor, he says, but won't derail the recovery.
Over the next 6 to 8 months and over the next couple of years, we're going to see a substantial pickup. We're moving into that part of the recovery now where we're going to see a surge in hiring, and we're going to face a serious and unprecedented shortage of skilled labor in this country.
The key word here, Reich agrees, is skills.
I want to emphasize the real long-term problem isn't the number of jobs. The long-term problem is the quality of the job. If we don't have an adequately educated and trained workforce, we're going to have a lot of fairly low-paying jobs. Already that's the case, but that's going to continue to be the case unless people are able to take higher value-added, more complicated jobs and do them well.
Both men say, in essence, that this is a tale of two job markets, with education and skill levels serving as the great divide. The challenge, they agree, is for the public and private sector to do more, much more, to make sure that job seekers, like Sandy Dawkins, are on the right side of that divide. For NPR News, I'm Paul Brandis in New York.